Okay, Chevra, good evening. What we are trying to do now is begin the sugya of Lifnei Iver, which will probably take us the next few weeks. What we have to do first is just get the Gemara down with the basic Rishonim. In the context of getting the Gemara with the basic Rishonim down, we'll also raise some of the issues that we have to deal with as the sugya goes on. So the Gemara has a question on Vav Amar Aleph. The Gemara is asking, Yibay Elohu Mishum Harvacha Odilma Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Right? The Gemara's question is, what's the reason for the Isser to do business with non-Jews 3 days before the festival? Is it because of Harvacha or because of Lifnei Iver? Who wants to translate the word Harvacha?
According to him.
Oh, okay. So give me one. Rashi. So Rashi says Harvacha means Azal Amoda, right? According to Rashi, Harvacha means that the Goy will go and thank his or her deity. So far, so good? And if that happens, Zakt Rashi, the Jew will be in violation of an Issa Da'iraisa called Lo Yishama Alpicha. Lo Yishama Alpicha means I cannot cause, right? It's a Lashon Nif'al, Lo Yishama Alpicha. I cannot cause the Goy to mention the deity. I'll be in violation of the Isser when the Goy mentions the Avodah Zarah. So far, so good? Okay. What other explanations do we know for Harvacha? From our youth. What? Min ha-mubchar, right? In other words, that Harvacha, we saw Taisan Daf Beis, said that it really means that if the Goy will have many animals, the Goy will bring the best animal, which we understood as some sort of hider mitzvah, right? That the Goy will be makriv, a nicer animal, and I'll be in violation because the Goy is happy that he or she is bringing the nicest animal as the carbon. What other explanations do we have for Harvacha? Bringing more animals, right? The Ritva learned on Daf Beis that you're bringing more animals, which is interesting because in the Hemshech, in the continuation of our Gemara, we're going to say that you do not violate Lifnei Iver if the Goy already has an animal. So if Goy has one animal, and now I give the Goy more animals, but because the Goy has more animals, the Goy will be makriv more karbanos. The Ritva's mechadesh, that still is Lifnei Iver, no? But it's, I'd say, the Harvacha type of Lifnei Iver. Harvacha is different than Lifnei Iver, no? Lifnei Iver means the Goy couldn't do the Aveira at all without me. Harvacha means that the Goy does more of the Aveira. It's very similar to Lifnei Iver, just a tad off, no? That's what we noted last time. We'll come back to the Rashi's comment on Harvacha in a few minutes. So we have two possibilities. Is it because of Harvacha or is it because of Lifnei Iver, right? How do we understand Lifnei Iver? Rashi over here decides to give us a brief discourse on Lifnei Iver. What does Rashi say? Apparently, the most important 25 minutes in Jewish history is from 10:40 until 11:05. Because that's when Rashi lived, right? That's a Dr. Berger line. Yes. Talia?
Basically, you're causing them to do a Avodah Zarah with the
Shem Mitzvah. So, I'm causing them to do Avodah Zarah, which is one of the Shem Mitzvah's B'nei Noach, but that's not why I violate Lifnei Iver, Zakt Rashi. Rashi writes that despite the fact, no? Nihid amaron, omad vihitiron, mihu al yavra yodecha, shari asid, and hein lite nasaden. This is an unbelievable Rashi. Zakt Rashi, Goyim are not obligated in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach anymore, no? Because God, omad vihitiron, God said, you don't have to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs anymore. We're done with that. Nonetheless, Zakt Rashi, I should not cause the Goy to violate anything, because the Goy will suffer, the Goy will be punished, asidin hein liten asadin, because they're not Mekayim the Zayin Mitzvahs. Right? So this is a little bit of double talk within Rashi, no? Are they obligated or not obligated?
Well, not.
Shani, you have a comment.
Yeah, because if we're going to say they're not obligated to shel mitzvot, but they can still get punished for not accepting the shel mitzvot, then how...
For not doing the shel mitzvot, right?
So they get
a
punishment for that every single time they violate shel mitzvot, or just for not doing it in general?
So you get the impression from Rashi that every time a guy violates avodah zarah, the guy gets a punishment, and therefore I should not cause the guy to violate avodah zarah because I am causing the guy to get punished. The guy is not violating an isser, but the guy will get punished. Now, we're ready for the first big chakira within Lifnei Iver. What is the nature of Lifnei Iver? Ready? What's the nature? Lumdus begins now, right? Lifnei Iver can be... Lifnei Iver can be that I get a chelek of your Aveira. You do an Aveira. I caused you to do an Aveira. I am responsible for your doing Aveira. So some of your Aveira sticks on me. Isn't that a nice way of understanding Lifnei Iver? Another possibility of Lifnei Iver, it's not that I get a portion of your Aveira, but Lifnei Iver is a separate Isser. Right? For example, let's say I cause you to be Mechal al Shabbos. Am I myself a Mechal al Shabbos? Now, if I'm a Mechal al Shabbos, Kayadua, there are many halachic implications, no? Lifnei Iver, is it a chilek of your Aveira?
No.
Or is Lifnei Iver a separate Isser?
That's saying it's an Isser of itself.
What?
The second one is saying that it's an Isser of itself.
Who's saying?
The second one.
The second one is saying it's an Isser on itself, it's a separate Isser, but what's Rashi saying?
You can't say it's just an Aveira because it's not an Aveira for
them. It's not an Aveira for you, right? According to Rashi, L'cha'ora... Right? Again, we have to keep a chart of this, right? Rashi would say that it's a separate Isser. It's not a chelak of your Aveira, because Rashi is saying that there is no Aveira on the Zion Mitzvos. Right? Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are not also for Goyim. Nihi da'amaron, even though we say, Omad v'hitiron, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was matir, the Zion Mitzvos for the Goyim don't have to do Zion Mitzvos B'nei Noach anymore. Nonetheless, I shouldn't allow a Goy to violate because of me, because I am causing the Goy an onesh. Right? Now, again, we dealt with the philosophical question. How can there be an onesh if you have no obligation? Right? Schar and onesh seem to be, in traditional Judaism, two sides of the same coin. But we developed the theory last time from Rabbi Yeruchim Perlau that what?
Natural law.
Natural law, right? Natural law means that we would learn halachas from cats and dogs, right? One of my daughters is very into pets. Or fish in particular. So she tries to explain to me all the things that you can learn from fish. Quite honestly, it's very boring and I don't really pay attention when she starts giving me this drasha. Please don't tell her I said this to Hila. Now,
I heard she listens to your shiur on the live
tour. No chance. Not that daughter. But Bekitzer Hama'aseh, I think Rashi is developing a theory that Lifnei Iver is not that I get a chelak of your Aveira, but rather Lifnei Iver is a separate, a new Aveira. Right? So far, so good? Now, perhaps we'll have to move away from this as we learn more Rashis, but I think this is the starting place of this Rashi. So Gemara has a question. Is the din of Lifnei Iver alts harvacha, or is it alts Lifnei Iver lotite mirshu? By the way, alts is a Yiddish word that not a single one of you mentioned as being a Yiddish word. A-L-T-Z. Alts means because of, or Aleph Lamed Sadi Sofes. Fine. So, Zaktigma Nafgamina, What difference does it make? So the Gemara says, a nafkamin is de islay behema ledide, when the goy has already his own animal. Iyam imishum harvacha kamaravichle, iyam imishum lufnevel, titain michshol, ha islay ledide. Zok the Gemara, that if the din is because of lifnei evil o sitei michsho, when the goy already has his own, when the goy already has her own animal, so there's no lifnei iver. So then, frankly, come on, what do you mean? So what if you have your own animal, why is it not lifnei iver? V'chi islei lididei lo avar mishum lifnei evil o sitei michsho v'atanya amreb nosin minayim shalai yoshet adam kosho yayin l'nozir. The Aver Menachai Lebnei Noach Talmud Lomar Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michsho Vahocha Duchilo Yavino Le Shakli Ihu Vika Avar Mishom Lifnei Iver Lo Titei Michsho. No? I'm not supposed to give a Nazir a cup of wine. By the way, can a woman be a Nazir? How do you know? It says in the Pasuk. You can be able to get into Rav Shechter's Kolal. Rav Shechter asks this question, like when people apply to the Kolal. So tell me, can a woman be a Nazir? Hey? So, it's a pasuk. You want to make sure that you have to know pasukim also. Huh?
But they didn't know,
like, the Chacham didn't know something. Or me. But he does know. Yeah, there's a Tosis in Bava Asa, Kufi Gemo, right? They don't teach that Tosis in Intro to Bible?
We don't have Intro to Bible.
Oh.
It's not like the core
part
of it. It doesn't exist.
Like, Uptown, like, every guy has to take Intro to Bible. The yeshivish people hate the course. Huh? What was that?
It's the most Bible that they'll learn.
Hmm. Could be. Okay. So, frak the Gemara, right? Reb Nosson said, I'm not supposed to give a cup of wine to a Nosir. I'm not supposed to give an Eiver min hachai to Bnei Noyach. Talmud Lomar, lifnei Eiver, lo titein michshol. I'm not supposed to give the iser to a iver, to someone who's blind. If I don't give it, they take it themselves, and you're still in violation of lifnei iver. So Gemara answers, Hacha b'mayas kinam dekoy b'tri ivri nahara. They're on two sides of the river. So what's the Gemara answering? Anyone? Michal.
That it's only lifnei iver if you're on, as if they would not be able to get it otherwise, or
maybe they're
without your direct help.
Right. The only, in other words, lifnei iver is basically what President Joel would call enabling. Right. That if you enable someone to do an aveira, that is lifnei iver. The case of not giving a cup of wine to the nazir is not a case when the nazir could get the wine on his or her own. But rather, the case is that the Nazir can't get the wine on his or her own because the Nazir is on one side of the river and I'm giving, right, where on that side of the river apparently there's no wine, no? And I'm giving the wine to the Nazir on that side of the river. Okay, that's the halacha. That's the Gemara. There's only lifnei iver, bikshrei ivri nahara. Let's learn a few more Rashis and then we will continue our discussion. Lo yoshet adam kos yayin lenozir. I shouldn't give wine to the nozir. Zokt Rashi, shema yavol lishtoso. What does Rashi in the Rif say? Im yavol lishtoso. What's the difference between Rashi in the Rif and Rashi here?
But here it's not clear whether or not he'll take it.
Here it's not clear whether or not the nozir will drink the wine. Right? Over there, im yavol lishtoso sounds like if you know the Nazir is going to drink the wine, then you're in violation, right? This question, whether it's Shema Yavo Lishtoso or Im Yavo Lishtoso, is a major chakira that the Yad Malachi asks. The Yad Malachi is a sefer on Klolim in Shas. Right? Again, let's review. Rashi over here says Shema Yavo Lishtoso, right? Right, Shema Yavol Lishtoso means I violate Lefneiver, maybe he'll drink it. Rashi on the Rif, by the way, Rashi on the Rif is what?
We don't know.
Very good. We don't really know what Rashi on the Rif is. It's some commentary that was written on the Rif. You have to remember that in certain yeshivos, they didn't learn Gemara. They would learn Rif. The advantage of Rif over learning Gemara is you don't have a whole shack over Tariya, you just have the conclusions. Now, you can't really understand Gemara without Rashi, so they printed something like Rashi on the side of the page. Some argue that Rashi on the Rif is an earlier version of Rashi. The scholars taina that... Scholars don't use the word taina. But the scholars taina that Rashi wrote his commentary on Shas four different times. That's the Shita Hamadu wrote. No? Did we speak about this at one point? That Rashi wrote his commentary on Shas four different times. Time number one, Rashi's commentary wasn't really Rashi. You see, when Rashi was a little boy and he was studying in the yeshiva in Magensa, so Rashi took notes. The notes were his rebate. So the first Madura, the first notebook, the first version of Rashi's commentary is not Rashi. That's the notes Rashi took from his rebbeim. Version 2 was when Rashi edited the notes from his rebbeim and started adding his own comments, what he felt made sense or didn't make sense. Version 3 is Rashi wrote his own commentary. And version 4 is Rashi edited his commentary.
So then why in Baba Basra, like why after in Baba Basra in the middle?
So Rashi dies in Baba Basra.
But shouldn't we have this at least?
Khan Nes Rashi. Right, so shouldn't we have Rashi on the rest of Masichta? So apparently, one of two things happened. Right? Either we lost it, or, right, they decided not to... put it in the Gemara because they're only trying to put the last version of Rashi, or, I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but the Shita of the Madurot is used to explain how come Rashi dies in so many different places of Shas. Rashi dies in Makos, no? Rashi dies in Baba Basra. Now, presumably people, cats die more than once, but humans only die once.
Well, it's Rashi.
What? I'm thinking of a sharp comeback, I just don't have one. Now, if you hold the Shita Madurot, so it could be that what's going on with Rashi and dying many times, that Rashi wasn't writing many different Masechtas at once, but Rashi's editing different things at the same time, no? It's very hard to write more than one thing at once. Even, like, for a super genius like Rashi. But Rashi may have been editing more than one thing at a time. So the Khan Meis Rashi might just mean that we don't have a better edited version of Rashi after that. Like, Arvei Pesachim is interesting, no? Is the Rashi in Arvei Pesachim Rashi? Or is it some other fellow? Some reputable Rishon, presumably. And it's interesting, by the way, in every Masechta where it says the word Rashi on the top of the commentary, look enough what you deserve. It doesn't say the word Rashi on top, no? That's because it's really Rashi. The Masechtas where it says Rashi on top, that's a dead giveaway. It's not Rashi. The scholars talk about Rashi on certain Masechtas not being Rashi. Rashi on Horios seems not to be Rashi. Rashi on the Durim seems not to be Rashi. When I was in high school in 11th grade, Rabbi Kalish told us that Rashi on the Durim was written by Rashi's daughters. That would be kind of cool, were it to be true. But I don't think they meant it that way. But the Rashi on the Durim is not Rashi. Rashi on Nozir is not Rashi. It's against some other Rishon. Now, when I say not Rashi, it might not mean not Rashi. It might mean an earlier version of Rashi. Rashi on Tainus doesn't seem to be written the same way as Rashi is written on other Masechtas. Rashi on Tainus tells lots of stories. He quotes Yerushalmis very often, no? Rashi on most Masechtas isn't so into Yerushalmi. Huh? So maybe it's a different version of Rashi. Maybe, I don't know. You have to figure it out. If you're interested, look in Avram Grossman's book called Rashi, where he talks about Rashi. In this section of Rashi. Well, I gave this summer, I gave a series of Shurim Mashul. I do like a series called Halachic Men during the summers often. So this past summer I did Rashi. But B'kitzar Ma'aseh, Rashi over here says, Shema Yavol Ishtoso. The reason I can't give the Kos Yayin is because he might drink it. But Rashi in on the Rif, or whoever that is, says, Im Yavol Ishtoso. This seems to be Toloi in the Chakira that the Yad Malachi asks. The Yad Malachi says that Chakarnu Belimud HaYeshiva. when we were learning in yeshiva, we investigated the following question. Is the iser of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, is that iser chal if the nazir never drinks the wine? I give a nazir a cup of wine, no? And let's say our darling nazir decides he's not thirsty, and he doesn't drink it. Or he decides he's a nazir, and he doesn't want to drink wine. Did I violate lifnei iver if, right, I give the cup of wine and he didn't drink it? We have these types of similar shilas in other areas of halacha, no? If I separate something on Shabbos, I take the bad out from the good, can I stick it back in and solve the problem? Did you ever think of this question as a kid? No? That you violate a borer and you say, oh, just put it back. No? Or you pick up muksa, can you just put it back? No, probably not. Right? That just means that you're violating more averis, l'cha'ora, right? Hold it, well, it depends what type of muksa, right? If it's a stone, if it's muksa machmas gufa, you have to drop it right away. If it's a kelish malach al isser, so we pass in like the Magid Mishnah, I'm allowed to put it where it belongs, no? I do this all the time. My kids, like, inevitably take pens on Shabbos. My little kids, my six-year-old, is very good at this. Like, taking stuff, and he blames everybody else for touching muksa on Shabbos, but when he does it, it's, like, perfectly fine. And there's always a concern that if he has, like, a Sharpie, especially, he's going to, like, write all over the house. No? Kids are known to do this. So you're allowed to take the pen away from the kid. Well, a pen is a keli shemachto le'iser. It's mutar letzayrich gufo makomo. So you take the pen away from the kid, no? And then once you have the pen, you don't have to put it in the nearest place. You could put it where it belongs. Right? That's the basic halacha. Okay.
I don't really understand the halacha of why, from even the wording, right? You're putting it before them. You're not making them something.
So the Yad Malachi. The Yad Malachi says, it seems to him that although they ask this question in yeshiva, but he says, gentlemen, presumably his shir was all men, he said, gentlemen, read the pasuk. Lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. Right? That's what you're saying, Tehillah. The iser is from the time that you give it. No? We have a similar idea, for example, that the Gemara darshan some psuk, given the context of ribis, that lo sesimun olav neshach, that there's an iser of ribis from the time when I write the document. If I write a document that says that I'm lending you $4 and you'll give me back $5, you violate the iser right from the time that you write the document, no? So the Yad Malachi is inclined. Just the at first glance, he says that he thinks the iser of lifnei iver would be from the time that you give the nazir the cup of wine. And even if the nazir doesn't drink the wine, you violate the iser. Then the Yad Malachi tainas. Yeah, but, Talia?
In the case of Rishon Dan, it's possible that they both think of deity, then wouldn't there still be a problem? Like, going back to something we previously discussed, that, like, maybe it's okay to do business with Christians around them because it's not likely that they'll think they're deity. They just say that there's a problem of allowing, giving them opportunity, but they're not, they won't do it.
So that's really the question of the Yad Malachi. Within the possibility of lifnei iver, is it giving the person the opportunity to do the Aveira? Or is it that I make the person stumble on the Aveira? No? That's really the question.
Don't put a stone block in front of a blind person, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to stumble on it.
What we're going to talk about is the Pshuto Shel Mikra angle. If I put a stumbling block and they don't stumble, right?
Like, is it a secretia or is it a Rishonim that's coming?
Well, I don't think anyone says it's a psikresha. Like, even the Balei HaTosfos. First of all, when we talk about humans who have das, to do or not to do, it's not really a psikresha.
Like,
now, a blind person is closer to psikresha. That's what you're saying?
I mean, there's always going to be the person that's an exception to the rule, right? But if the thing if you're making the almost inevitable, then we should all be together.
Right, so you could certainly say it that way. I just don't know.
Also,
I mean, let's say it like this. If you take the approach that the Isser is putting it there, so then you're asking a further question. Is the Isser of Nisina, according to that possibility in the Yad Malachi, is that Nisina when it's exceedingly likely that they'll trip? Psikresha, Karuk Psikresha? Or what about Nisina in a case when there's a decent chance they won't trip? No? That issue, Tosfos kind of dances around on Amud Beis. Right? The top Tosfos speaks about what about giving a Jew a piece of Nevela? The assumption is that Orthodox Jews don't eat Nevela. Right? So then, what happens in that case? That will be a related question to this. But right now we're setting up the chakir of the Yad Malachi in terms of is the, and the contradiction Rashi seems to be about this point. Is it Shema or is it Im Yavol Ishto Soshani?
Well, are we just discussing Lifnei Iver now or also like Avodah Zarah? Like, because there's one thing in terms of like putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, like physically doing that, giving the Nazir wine, but then there's also just doing business, and so you get business and you give them a sheep. You're not actively just, if you were to actively give them a present of a sheep or whatever it is.
I'm giving them a sheep, I'm selling them a sheep, and now they have the wherewithal, now they have the ability to be makriv that sheep to Avodah Zarah.
It's less active than actually putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Okay, so something in front of a blind
person. So very good. There's another question that we'll have to talk about that may or may not be related to this, which is a Lifnei Iver an active Avera or a passive Avera, which we would call in Jewish a lav she'in bo ma'isa. Right? Is Lifnei Iver active or not? Now, whether this question relates to these questions, we'd have to scratch our heads and try to figure out, but right now we're just trying to conceptualize to the best of our ability. I don't know if you were going in that direction, but
I... Yeah, I was, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, just Lifnei Iver and, like, with the example of the Nazir, like, they seem to be in the same category, but in terms of doing business with Goyim, it seems like a different category than the pasuk itself of Lifnei Iver. When Lifnei Iver Nazir is active, like that does sound active, but doing business with non-Jews is less.
I don't know why you're assuming doing business is less active. I'm in my store, I'm taking a sheep, a heavy big thing, and I'm giving it to Slobodan.
In return for business instead
in return
of
for a few dollars.
Going up to a blind person and putting something in front of them so that they can trip.
Well, first of all, the case of putting an object in front of a blind person so they trip is not anywhere in Shas as the Isser of Lifnei Iver. The Gemara speaks about Lifnei Iver in terms of Averos.
Okay, so giving a Nazir a cup of wine.
Giving a Nazir a cup of wine is active.
Having wine in your house and the Nazir so happens to see it.
Or just
wine.
Selling,
do you know what I mean?
Like, it's selling.
If I sell wine, that presumably would be the same. Again, in this Gemara, we are not distinguishing between gifts and sales. Right, that's something to bear in mind. But if I give the guy a gift of Eiver Min HaChai, right, or if I sell the guy the animal, it's the same type of Isser.
Oh, I just see them as different.
Right? I might say that it's different, and the bottom Taisus on Omer Aleph kind of dances around that issue also. But for time being, the Gemara is equating doing business with going before the festival, where I receive money, and we're equating that with lo yoshet kos yayin nazir, and even a chayil of nei noach. It doesn't sound like that's a sale. It sounds like that's a gift. No. Now, which one is more active, or does it matter if it's more active? We have to flesh out. Oh. Lo yoshet odam kos yayin l'nazir. Zok Rashi shema yavol l'shtoso. And we have the contradiction between our Rashi and Rashi in the Rif. The Yad Malachi has this question. The Yad Malachi thinks that this is a contradiction in two different Gemaras. The Gemara tells us a story in Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says, Azoy. Here. Amsa de Bei Rebbe, right? That's the maidservant in Rebbe's house. The Gemara in Ksubas Kuf Gimel has many stories about Amsa de Bei Rebbe. She was like a very chashuva woman. Amsa de Bei Rebbe, chazise lahu gavra dava machi lebno gadol. She sees a fellow who's hitting a son who's over the age of bar mitzvah. He's hitting the son who's over bar mitzvah. Amra, she says, lehavi hahu gavra b'shamta deka ovar lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. That you should be in cherem because you're violating lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Right? She's a tough woman, no? She sees this guy hitting the son. So she says, you should be b'shamta, you should be in cherem because you're in violation of lifnei iver lo sitein michsho, because we learn that lifnei iver lo sitein michsho is makel of no gadol hakasa medaber. The pasuk is speaking about someone who hits the son over bar mitzvah. The concern is that if you hit your son over bar mitzvah, you know what your son's going to do?
Yeah.
Hit back. And children are not allowed to hit their parents, correct? That's like something like that, right? It's like really bad, not supposed to hit your parents. So there's a violation of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Now, says the Yad Malachi, that in this Gemara, l'cha ora, the son never hit the father back. The father is hitting the son. You don't know that the son's going to hit the father. Maybe, maybe not. So he says the iser is lo sitein michshol. The iser is giving the michshol, placing the michshol there. And if the person does not violate, right, still you violated the iser of lifnei iver. That's the diuk that the Yad Malachi has from this Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin. By the way, just an aside, Rav Volbi has a sefer called Binyan Uzria Bechinuch or something, no? He has a small pamphlet called Building and Zria, like Planting. It's translated in English also by Feldheim. And Rav Volbi over there argues that although the Gemara says it's usur to hit your kid over bar and bas mitzvah because they might hit back, but bizmaneinu, that our kids are very precocious, you're not supposed to ever hit kids because the kid will always hit back. This is one of the more difficult things. When your kid really acts up, it's so tempting to want to clobber him. Right? And Rav Volbi says that in his opinion, that would be usur. Because his understanding of the Gemara is interesting. His understanding of the Gemara is that Beno Katan won't want to hit you back, but Beno Gadol will. And therefore, Bizman Hazeh, that even Beno Katan will want to hit you back, it's usher to hit Beno Katan. We could have, of course, said that the Gemara meant something different, that the kid will always want to hit back, but the Katan doesn't have any Aveira, no? This, of course, depends on the famous Hakira about whether Maisa Avera of a Katan is a Maisa Avera. No? If a Katan does an Avera, is it an Avera just a lack of Das on some level? It's tantamount, let's say, to Avera B'shogeg or Mis'asek. Do I assume that when a Katan does an Avera, it doesn't count? But Bekitzer, Rav Volbi argues, like from a chinuch perspective, that you're never supposed to hit kids. I think in the biography of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, they point out that Rabbi Yaakov used to tell people that you should only hit your kids or scream at your kids for something that they might continue to do when they get older. If the kid does something just because my son is 6 years old, and six-year-olds like running around the house naked and jumping up and down and whatever, right? That kid doesn't deserve a patch for that. Because presumably the kid is going to grow out of that type of behavior at some point, no? Right? If it's behavior that you assume the kid will grow out of, Rabbi Yaakov feels you shouldn't hit or scream at the kid for. You get an impression from there that he's not really opposed to hitting. I think this is a big machlokas among the people who do early childhood and ed psych stuff, right? What's the current state of research? Are you supposed to hit your kids or not?
No, not supposed to.
What?
Not supposed
to. It's bad.
You might have to hit, you'll be arrested.
You could still be arrested.
Pretty sure, yeah.
For hitting your kid, yeah?
No way. I know that if kids show up to class.
I think you could get arrested if you're like really clobber. If the kid shows up in school, like, and is clear that the kid was like hit with a belt. I had one friend in elementary school whose parents used to hit him with a belt when he didn't like bad stuff. I was zocha always to wait till your father gets home and then maybe you'll get it. Of course, by that time my father came home, I was long asleep and I never got it. So I got away with murder. That's like the story of my childhood. But that's a different story. But the kitzer, the Gemara Moed Katan, says the Yad Malachi indicates that the iser of lifnei iver is even if the kid doesn't hit back. Me'idach kiddushin daf lamed beis. Kiddushin daf lamed beis has a very funny gemara. No, there's Rabba bar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna, who, right? If your name is Rabba bar Rav Huna, that means that Rav Huna is your father, right? Rav Huna is Rabba's father. So Rav Huna wanted to test his son Rabba to see if he gets angry or not. V'chiho de Rabba bar Rav Huna, de Rav Huna koroshiroi ba'ape Rabba brei. Rav Huna took some silk expensive begodim and he tore them in the presence of his son Rabba. Amar ezo echzi irasach ilo rasach. He says, I want to see if he'll get angry or not get angry. V'rak the Gemara, ay, v'doma rosach, v'ka'avar lifnei iver l'osite mechshol. Yigmar says, ay, maybe he'll get angry, and if he gets angry, so then you, Rav Huna, violate lifnei iver. So Yigmar answers, no, d'mochol lei liyakrei. That basically, Rav Huna was Michael, his covet, and even if the son will say something bad to Rav Huna in the son's anger, Rav Huna won't be offended. But the Lashon HaGemara, V'dilma Rasach, maybe he'll get angry, that Lashon implies that the Isser of Lifnei Iver is only if you get angry. So the Yad Malachi notes that there's a stira in the Gemaras. Then the Yad Malachi tries to dance around a little bit, and he says that maybe what the Gemara Kedushin means, remember, the Yad Malachi is in favor of the Isser being Mishas Nesina. So he says, maybe when the Gemara means V'doma Rasach, the Gemara says, that's why you shouldn't rip the silk begadim, because maybe he'll get angry. And since maybe he'll get angry, this action itself of ripping the silk begadim was Asar Al Tzlifnei Iver. Right? The Dilma in the Gemara maybe is like the same as the Shema here in Rashi. Shema Yavol Ashtoso.
What?
The fact that he may get angry shows that there's no Vera.
Shows that there's not Vera in ripping the silk, which could be the, right? So that could really be the Lifnei Iver. That's the way the Yad Malachi gets out of this Gemara. Me'idach. If you look in the Stei Chemed is like an encyclopedia on halachic topics. The Stei Chemed is found in Ma'areches Vav. It's Vav because the pasuk says Vi Lifnei Iver. So it's in Ma'areches Vav, totally to confuse you. Like, I would never look here. So it's Ma'areches Vav Klau Chaf Vav. So the Stei Chemed has a whole discussion about this question of the Yad Malachi. And he says that he tries to have a diuk from a ritva on our Gemara, which we'll try to read a Mirat Hashem for next time we learn, and a diuk in the Rambam, that the issur of lifnei iver is only if the person actually gets angry. I, the Gemara in Moed Katan, has the expression that Makeh b'no gadol you violate lifnei iver. So the Stechemek quotes many Sephardic shuvas as follows. By the way, the Stechemek was an interesting fellow, no? He was a mashulach for the community in Hebron. So he went around to Europe to raise money for the community in Hebron. But he was a huge Talmud Chacham. So whenever he meets somebody, he just says, like, oh, I'm thinking about this again, this question, etc. And people engage him in conversation. He quotes everyone who he spoke with. And so-and-so sent me a letter about this that we discussed a few months ago. And that's what makes the Sefer so exciting. So in the Stechemer, he refutes the proof from the Gemara in Moed Katan as follows. The Gemara in Moed Katan says that Amsa de Berebi sees somebody who hits the sun. So she says, you should be in Cherem. Tell me, if it's an Isser Do'iraisa, what's the punishment that I get for violating an Isser Do'iraisa? Presumably, Malkus, no? Especially if there's Edom and Hasra, you get Malkus, no? Cherem, Lehava Ugav or Bishamta, Cherem is something that we usually impose on someone who's in violation of an Isser Do'iraisa. What? There's something called Malkus Maridus, which is for Drabbanon. If you violate an Isser Drabbanon, we'll give you Malkus Maridus, sometimes we'll give you Cherem, right? Something along those lines. But for an Isser D'Oraisa, it's rare that we'll impose Shamto or Cherem. By the way, Cherem means you should drop dead. No? Cherem is Gematria 248. A male has 248 Evarim. No? So Cherem is a way of saying, you see those 248 Evarim that you have? They should be buried. You should die. Right? Cherem is intense. You don't want Cherem. Now, the Stechemet is Doche. He says that maybe what the Gemara means in Moed Katan is that it's not Lifnei Iver Min HaTaira, because the guy didn't hit back. One could argue that's only lifnei iver min haTorah if the guy hits back. If he doesn't hit back, it's not lifnei iver min haTorah. This, of course, this question has many hashlachot and many nafgaminos, whether you violate lifnei iver from the time that you give the aveira, or whether you violate lifnei iver only when the fellow violates the aveira. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, daf ayin hey, speaks about the various isurim that you could violate in a transaction that involves ribbis. The Gemara says that the edim on a shtar sheish po ribbis violate lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. Aye, maybe the ribbis will never be given. No. The shtar says Reuven is lending Shimon $4 to get $5 back. Maybe they'll never give ribbis. Right? Again. Is it lifnei iver d'oraisa d'rabbanon? This is all toloi. It all depends on the question of the Yad Malachi. Now, conceptually, the Yad Malachi's question about Shema or Im has to do with this question that we have on the board. Who wants to plug it in? Does lifnei iver mean that you get a chelek of the aveira, or is it a separate issur? Tell you.
Chelek of the aveira is only if you know he'll do it. And the separate
iser
is if you don't know whether or not
to do it. Exactly. It's only possible to say that lifnei iver is a chelek of the aveira if the guy or girl, whoever gets it, actually does it. Then I get a chelek of the aveira. But the possibility that lifnei iver is a separate iser could exist according to... could exist even if the person doesn't violate the Aveira. That question, whether the Lifnei Iver is a separate Aveira, is a very interesting question, no? There's a Machlokas Ramban and Bahamor that we'll learn in Mir Tzahashem, and the Perek Ben Sura Umura. Is Lifnei Iver on Avodah Zarah Yehori Vayavar? Right? Avodah Zarah Yehori Vayavar. Don't do it. Better to die than to violate Avodah Zarah, no? Is Lifnei Iver Yehori Vayavar? That, Rebbe Chanan says, depends on the question. Is lifnei iver that I get a chelek of your aveira? Because I enable you to do the aveira, I get a portion of your aveira? Or do I say, no, lifnei iver is not that I get a chelek of your aveira. Lifnei iver is a separate iser. And this should be totally in our chakira as well. Another point that we will have to focus on is the two dimensions of Lifnei Iver. There's a Lifnei Iver that's found in our Gemara with respect to Averis. But there's another Lifnei Iver that's called giving bad advice, no? If I tell you to buy, I don't know. If I tell you that we have to pick a very important case to illustrate this. If I tell you that the New York Mets are likely to win the World Series this coming year, and you should bet your money on the Mets, right? So that presumably is I'm giving you bad advice, no? I know certain people might disagree with this, but look, Ura, it's bad advice. They got no chance, right? Is bad advice Lifnei Iver Da'iraisa? So the answer is yes. Is bad advice the same type of Lifnei Iver as an Avera? So it can't be the same as an Avera if the Avera means Chelak Aleph. If the Avera means, if Lifnei Iver and the Avera is that I get a portion of your Avera. Michal, I cut you off.
So I was wondering in terms of that, based on the
Sephira,
would every Lifnei Iver on Lifnei Iver?
So that, the Gemara Yudalid speaks about Lifnei to Lifnei. That's a very important discussion that we will have. Okay, for next time, we have to go through this Tisus carefully with the parallel Tisus in Shabbos. You did that already? Okay, so you go through that Tisus, parallel Tisus in Shabbos, Sefer HaChinuch and Reish Lamed Beis. I'll give you some additional makoros. What we'll do is we'll begin to flesh out Lifnei Iver. There are other discussions to have in terms of Lifnei Iver about literally placing a stumbling block, etc. We hopefully will get to all of these topics. So we're going to be moving in two different planes. Right? One plane is Gemara, and the other plane is going to be just like all of the related Lifnei Iver sugyas, and we have to learn Bahasmada, and I got to go and try to make a shuttle back. Okay, Chevra, have a good night.